للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، أليم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه، صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. We begin with the praises of Allah Rabbul Alameen, that Allah who is mine and your soul sustainer, cherisher, nourisher and protector. May Allah's choicest salutations continue to descend and flow upon our noble master, our mentor, our teacher and our guide, Nabi Pak Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and friends, if you can recall, last week we had spoken with regard to the rights of women and gender roles, and in our talk we had outlined the importance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to both gender, to both men and women, and the spiritual elevation that Allah has favored both of them. Continuing with this topic, the next important aspect with regard to this is males and females are assigned distinct but equally valuable roles. Males and females are assigned distinct but equally valuable roles. While Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created males and females equal in their primary spiritual purpose, as we had explained last week, He has also endowed them with an undeniable difference to serve specific and complementary purposes. To serve specific and complementary purposes. And this does not imply, that one is superior to the other simply because they differ in details. Rather, it means, understand this well, my friends, rather it means their roles are designed to be complementary and not competitive. The role of men and women are to be complementary and not competitive. Let's examine this with a practical and a logical example. Consider a plant. It has both roots and leaves. Both serve distinct and quintessential purposes, with each relying on the other for its very existence. You and I know the roots anchor the plant and absorb water and nutrients from the soil, while the leaves absorb sunlight and carry out photosynthesis. They perform vastly different tasks, yet the plant cannot survive without either. Can I give you another example? Let's think of a car engine and a steering wheel. Their functions are entirely different. The engine provides the power to move the car, while the steering wheel directs its path. One is not inherently more important than the other. Without either, the car cannot simply function. It would be bizarre for one to consider the other unimportant because its function is so different, or to feel that they both need to perform the exact job to contribute to the vehicle's purpose. The reality is both are absolutely required. Now, my respects to the elders and friends, the same applies to gender. The same rule applies to gender. Allah has created a binary gender system, with each having a specific divinely ordained purpose. And these roles are not socially constructed, they are divinely dictated. They are not socially constructed, they are divinely dictated. For instance, Allah asserts that male is the primary financial supporter. Male is the primary financial provider, bearing the responsibility for the family. However, this does not mean that the female cannot earn, or she cannot learn, nor that she cannot contribute to even provide for a family, as we witness in various narrations of the companions radiallahu anhu as well. Similarly, the female is honored to be a homemaker, blessed with the profound opportunity of childbearing and breastfeeding. This hasn't been given to a man. It has been specifically divinely ordained by Allah that a female will carry out this responsibility. This serves also the most intimate connection that any two people can share. Can there be a more intimate connection than between a child that is in the womb of a mother and the mother? Do you know of any more intimate connection than that? That is why Allah has placed so much of responsibility and rights upon parents. Nevertheless, this divinely ordained system is a blessing and not a burden. My respected elders and friends, this responsibility of childbearing and responsibility of being a homemaker is so immense that Jannah, paradise itself, has been placed beneath her feet due to this virtue. However, just because this is a unique blessing bestowed upon females, it absolutely does not mean that a woman is any less of a female if she does not have children. Perhaps due to infertility, or perhaps due to not getting married, whatever the case, it definitely does not diminish her opportunity to gain entry into paradise and become closer to Allah. For if that were the case, then Aisha radiallahu anha, may Allah always be pleased with her, she had no biological children. But you and I know she is one of the most superior women to walk on the face of the earth. Yet she was a female. If worth of femininity was solely based on childbearing and child rearing, now this understanding of complementarity and not competition is ingrained in our faith. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam articulated this truth when he said that women are the counterparts of men. This statement from our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam does not speak to sameness in every detail, but to shared humanity, shared spiritual potential, and an intricate, indispensable partnership between genders with Islamic limitations. This is the divine wisdom and guidance of Allah's perfect creation. He has instilled with us a natural disposition that inclines us towards distinct but independent roles. And this is not arbitrary. It is a design that Allah has made for optimum human flourishing individually and communally. When we speak of a male as the primary provider and protector, and the female as the primary nurturer and homemaker, we are speaking of a divinely ordained division of labor that brings stability and efficiency to the foundational unit of a society, and that is the family. That is why we as Muslims, we as believers, we must vehemently reject the siren of the call of absolute sameness. There is nothing like sameness. Men and women are different. My respected elders and friends, to enforce identical roles where natural differences exist is not liberation. Understand this and understand it well. To enforce identical roles and where natural differences exist is not liberation. It is a disservice. It is a disservice to humanity, forcing men and women into molds that disregard their inherent strengths and inclinations will have a deleterious impact. And what are some of these impacts? Firstly, dissatisfaction. Individuals struggling to fulfill roles that go against their natural leanings will lead them to unfulfillment and societal stress. A female that is forced into entering a workforce to comply with societal dictates will not increase in her happiness or her satisfaction, but rather decrease them due to her dissonance within her natural inclination. Secondly, it will cause a societal breakdown. The dismantling of distinct vital roles within the family will ultimately erode society. The marital and parenting bonds are a bedrock of a society. From an Islamic and a psychological lens, your parental achievement, your parental attachment has a significant influence on your spiritual and your interpersonal relationship and skills. This ultimately impacts communal functioning. And thirdly, the loss of unique strengths when we obsess over identical contributions. We invariably devalue and suppress the invaluable, the distinct strengths and the spiritual virtues that each one brings to the table. Our attempts to raise females to make them equal to men will always leave females in the shadow of men. Our attempts to raise females to make them equal to men will always leave females in the shadow of men, as we have set the standard as men. A female's standard is not in being a male, it is in being a female. Samajh mein aaya? A female standard, Allah has already given her that standard. So a female standard is not in being a male, it is in being a female. Islam, in its infinite wisdom, offers a path of harmony where men thrive, where men and women thrive, not by being interchangeable, but by fulfilling the complementary roles for which they were so perfectly created. My respected elders and friends, so yes, Allah has two distinct genders and has assigned virtues to each along with separate responsibilities based on these virtues. However, this signifies harmony, not rivalry. It signifies cooperation and not competition. In conclusion, Islam has blessed females with honor, making them equal in their primary purpose and in their relationship with the divine, yet distinct in their pathways to Jannah and their idiosyncratic strengths and weaknesses. It is imperative that females recognize their inherent value and their divine purpose, refusing to be threatened by calls that outwardly promise liberation but inadvertently shackle them to external agendas. True liberation is found not in calls that outwardly seek to liberate them, but inadvertently lead them to shackling themselves to other agendas instead of finding liberation in our enslavement to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. My respected elders, my brothers, and as men, we bear a responsibility. We bear a responsibility. We must rise to stand up for the Islamically ingrained rights of females, serving not merely as their physical protectors, but as their spiritual and their intellectual guardians as well. We're not only there to physically protect them, we are there to protect them intellectually and spiritually. It is our duty to defend our mothers, our wives, our daughters, and all our female family members and generations from any movement that seeks to strip them of these divinely given rights. Therefore, any attempt to dissolve the gender binary, to blur the lines, or to expand gender definitions in ways that allow privileged men to infringe upon female-only spaces represents a grave injustice to the rights of female and to the direct contradiction of Quranic dictates. Any abuse, denial, or distortion of these ordained rules and roles, including the objection of women or attempts to erase their distinct gender identity, constitutes a serious injustice and a serious deviation from the moral guidance of Islam. Implications. Just think about it, my friends. Getting rid of female-specific bathrooms. They are talking of getting rid of female-specific bathrooms or allowing males to infringe upon female spaces. Is that honoring the rights of women? Really, come on, men. Is that honoring the rights of women? Yes or no? It is a regression. Wallah, it is an oppression. Would you allow a man to go into a bathroom when your mother or your sister or your wife is there? Would you allow that? You would definitely not allow it. How could you allow it? If you allow it, you're not a man. So what is the way forward? How do we protect, or how do we protect the rights of females in Islam? My time is up, my respected elders and friends, but what we need to do objectively, we need to analyze information through an Islamic law. We need to educate ourselves and our children about the true roles of females, and we need to stand up and defend the rights and the true rights of females. Me and you are not responsible for the actions of others, but you are responsible for your reaction to the actions of others. You're not responsible for the actions of others, but you are absolutely responsible for your reaction to the action of others. While the world relentlessly attempts to redefine sex, While the world attempts to redefine gender and gender expectations and gender roles, we as Muslims have an unwavering duty to respond. The question now beckons is, since 1848, you remember I told you about that conference in 1848? Since 1848, how have we as Muslims and a Muslim community responded? And more importantly, how have you responded? Have you been part of the solution or part of the problem? Or merely a bystander in the face of these profound challenges? And to my mothers and sisters, I address you today and I say, you are immensely valuable in Islam. You are immensely valuable in Islam. But how have you honored that value? And how have you upheld the dignity that is bestowed upon you by your Creator in the wake of these external forces? And O men, you are supposed to be the protectors and the shepherds. Have you truly risen to safeguard the dignity of these precious women in our community? For one day you and I surely will rise in the court of Allah to reckon for these opportunities. That how did we defend the rights and the value of our mothers and sisters? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us the understanding. On a lighter note, a brother came to me last week and he said, Monana, we only hear the rights of women, we never hear the rights of men. So inshallah, one Friday I am going to concentrate on that as well, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil الحمد لله الذي خلق وأبدع وأتقن كل شيء صنع سن الله الذي أتقن كل شيء إنه خبير بما تفعلون وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ذل كل شيء لعظمته وكبريائه وخضع وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله وهو خير نبي وأفضل متبع اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فيا عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي المذنبة بتقوى الله عز وجل فإنها وسيلة لكل من رغب في عفو الله وطمع اعلموا أيها الحضور الإكرام أن الله أكرم النساء وأوجب علينا أن نعطيهن كامل حقوقهن ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف وأمرنا كذلك أن نعاشروهن بالمعروف وآشروهن بالمعروف فإن كرهتموهن فعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا ويجعل الله فيه خيرا كثيرا وبين الله سبحانه في أكثر من موضع من كتابه أن الرجال والنساء متساوون في مسؤولياتهم تجاه ربهم من حيث التقرب إليه والحصول على مرضاته ونيل الثواب منه وليس الجنس أمر معتبر في هذا أبدا فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون وأوضح الله أيضا أن التقوى أحم وصف ينظر إليه. يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم. وقد قال الحبيب المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما النساء شقائق الرجال، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأقضاهم علي رضي الله تعالى عنه، وعن الصحابة كلهم أجمعين رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. الله الله في أصحابي، لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل الدين، اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين، اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في فلسطين، اللهم انصر المظلومين والمستضعفين في كل مكان يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا، رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا، ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار، يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، الأحياء منهم والأموات، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة. Brothers, let us ensure that ourselves are straight, shoulder to shoulder with our heels in line, making sure that all the gaps are full. Once again, a humble reminder, Alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with such a beautiful masjid, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, the carpets also look so beautiful. Allah reward one and all, the committee, the community, the contributors, everyone who had a share in this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of thawab ajariya, inshallah. A continuous thawab till the day of Qiyamah, inshallah. And how fortunate we are that we have this opportunity. We never know. We just never know. It could be that few rands that we dropped into that box, inshallah, that will see us through on the bridge of the Sirah on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah. And we have this beautiful masjid, the beautiful house of Allah that is occupied all the time. Our contribution, no matter how small, inshallah, keeps it going. And we make dua, Allah makes it like this till the day of Qiyamah, inshallah. Where Allah's house is there for us, inshallah. And the beauty of the house and the beauty of the masjid will be enhanced even further, inshallah, if more musallis come to the masjid. One is the carpets are beautiful, mashallah. But the true beauty is when we will have more and more people come 5 times a day to the masjid. We all will try, inshallah. Inshallah.
على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى، والذي قدر فهدى، والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى. سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله، إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى، ونيسرك لليسرى، فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى، سيذكر من يخشى، ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى، ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى، بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا، والآخرة خير وأبقى، إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى، صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله أكبر. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم صل على محمد وآله ألف ألف مرة. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. اللهم ارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. والسلام على المرسلين. والحمد لله رب العالمين.